Well, a fellow who we love talking baseball with, and that is Joe Sheehan. He has his he's a founding member of Baseball Prospectus, a contributor to Sports Illustrated. He's been writing about baseball for 20 years. He's got the Joe Sheehan newsletter, which we'll talk about, which I love getting, and I'm telling you, it keeps you up on baseball every single day. So, Joe, it's a pleasure having you on the show today. How are you?
Good, Marty. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, very nice. So maybe some of your thoughts about Jackie Robinson on this very special day today.
Well, I think it's two separate stories. One is the the impact he had on both our society and American society, on young African-Americans getting to play baseball, on generations down the line. You hear players today even who never got to see Jackie Robinson and weren't even alive while Robinson was, like McCutcheon and Archer and Adam Jones, respecting his legacy. But I think you also think about Jackie Robinson, the man, and all that he went through, and how, quite frankly, you know, a lot of men would not have been able to hold up to the abuse and the pressure that he was under. And, of course, a lot was riding on this. If Jackie Robinson had not been as successful as he was, both as a player and as a person, a lot of things, the effort to integrate baseball might not have been as successful. So we respect the legacy, but we also respect the man.
Boy, absolutely. Joe Sheehan with us. Joe, it's funny, you know, this. You come out of spring training, and I know you do your predictions, and you do a great job of analyzing the teams 1 through 30, and you AL MVP and all that kind of stuff. And then you get into the first week of the season, and everything blows up. And I sort of have my motto now, expect the unexpected. I think when you come out of spring training and the season starts, it's a free-for-all, and I think we've seen it here the first couple of weeks.
No question. I mean, you know, let's say the idea that no plan survives contact with the enemy, no prediction survives contact with the season. And for all the people who say, oh, you know, why are you even playing the season if you're making these predictions? We play the season because baseball's fun, and we're going to get surprised. If we could predict everything, you know, we'd spend a lot more time watching the basketball playoffs. But instead, we get to the season, and we get surprised by players. We get surprised by teams. We get disappointed in a number of cases, looking at you, Toronto. I don't want to overreact too much. You and I emailed about this, about, you know, the way we kind of jumped to conclusions in the first couple weeks of the season. You really got to let the season breathe. But there's no question that we learn things in the first couple weeks.
Yeah, do you believe in the old adage, you can't win a pennant in April, but you sure can lose one?
I don't know. I don't even know that you can lose them. We've seen teams get off to really bad starts. I remember a couple of years back, and this is going back a ways, both the Indians and the Astros were something like 15-30 after 45 games, and they ended up making the playoffs. This would have been sometime in the 2000s. So, no, I think even – I look to Billy Beane, who I believe – I'm gonna bollocks this quote a little bit. But the first third of the season is figuring out who you are. The second third of the season is building what you want, and then the third third is playing out with that final team. So really, you look at the season in 2 months, 2 months, 2 months.
Hey, that's what I say. He must have taken that from me.
Wouldn't surprise me. That Bean guy, you know,
yeah,
he's always causing trouble.
Come on, he's in the Bay Area, and he heard me. That's what I say, really, seriously. April and May, you figure out who you are. June and July, you go out and get what you have to get to make it the way you want, if you can. And then August and September, it's the race to the finish and the pros take over.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any question that, you know, looking at just the first 2 weeks can lead you astray. You've really got to let the season breathe. And, you know, Marty, not to date you, but I know you're a couple years older than I am. I feel like just in the last maybe 10 years, we've gotten crazy about this. It feels like we were better as fans, as media people, about letting the season develop and not overreacting to the first couple of weeks. And I don't know if it's a technology thing or we've changed as people thing, but I know that I try to really hold back and say, hey, look, let's let the stories play out. Let's let guys get to 100 plate appearances and 10 starts before we start reaching conclusions.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe, let's plug the newsletter a little bit. How do people subscribe to it? I love it. It's terrific. Comes out just about every day, and it's this kind of analysis of baseball. How do people get in touch with you?
Well, the best place to find out about the newsletter is at facebook.com/Sheehan newsletter. There's a page that has excerpts from the newsletter, has links to other things that I'm working on. I answer questions there. Occasionally, I'll just do a quick 200-300 word blurb there that's separate from everything else. If you enjoy the game, I'm just a guy who's been very fortunate. I've loved the game my whole life. I got to write about it when we started Prospectus. I've been writing about it ESPN, Sports Illustrated. I did some work for Washington Post. Basically, I've been writing and talking about baseball for a long time, and I enjoy doing it. So people enjoy the newsletter. Something like 2,000 people get it. They really they enjoy it. You get all the information, as I say, at facebook.com/Sheehan newsletter.
Perfect. Very good. All right, let's talk a little National League West, because you did some analysis for SI not too long ago about teams and maybe what they need or what you think they may need, or, you know, sort of that. Let's talk a little bit about the Giants. And again, the 5-7, they're starting to creep up in the pitching statistics right now. They got a home run from Marrero last night, and Crawford is really off to a good start. Posey got beaned. Let's talk about Giants a little bit, maybe some of your just basic reactions so far.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised by the run scoring. They lead the National League in runs, and that's a little bit about timing. Because if you look at, you know, the underlying statistics, the power, the on base, the slugging, they really haven't had the best offense in the league, but they have been able to hang a lot of runs. You know, Posey was off to a great start when he got hurt. Coming off the year last year, it was encouraging to see him get off to. Oops, hey, somebody's computer decided to autoplay a video.
Okay,
sorry.
Live radio, we love it. Come on, that's nothing. You see what I put up with. Go ahead.
But I think the offense, this was the concern I had with the team, with the outfield aging, with the offense coming back. I really believed in the starting pitching, and I was wondering whether he was scoring enough runs. And what we've seen is the reverse. The offense has been very good, while the pitching, particularly in the back end of the bullpen, has been shaky. I do think that'll reverse itself. I think that I'm not at all concerned about the pitching staff. I'd be a little concerned about the five spot. I'm not sure what Matt Cain has left, but the top four I'd put up against, you know, most rotations in the game. And I think the bullpen will settle down. I wasn't a big fan of the Mark Melancon signing, but certainly he's going to pitch better than he has to date. I like Laud Strickland setting him up. The pitching's not the concern. I think the concern has to be the outfield.
Very
Denard
good.
Span now, yeah. You know, wasn't that great last year. Now 33 playing center field, not hitting. I believe you and I talked in the offseason about Jarrett Parker. The numbers have been good so far in the majors, but when you kind of look and say, is he really a major league left fielder? He's gotten off to a bad start as well. I think that's where the Giants are going to have to look. We talk about the first 54, the second 54. I think by the second 54, the Giants are going to be in the market for an outfielder.
Boy, all right. Very – and Ryan Braun. What about Ryan Braun? Where's he going to end up? And he becomes a 5-10 man, you know, pretty in the middle of May. Is he going to get traded?
You know, that's the clock, right? I mean, because once he gets to the 5-10 part, now, you know, the automatic no trade kicks in, and what can you really do? So it's an earlier deadline than we usually expect for big bats. Bats usually go in June and July, but because of the no trade clause, May becomes the issue here. I think that the Brewers should look to trade him. If you look at what they've done over the last 2 years, they've said, hey, look, we're putting our focus into the future. We're putting our focus into getting top quality guys for our young player, top quality prospects for our best players. Jonathan Lucroy trade, the Carlos Gomez trade, Ryan Braun fits in as a piece. Obviously, he's more expensive. He's older than the Gomez or Lucroy were at the time they were trading. There's a longer commitment. He's a harder player to trade. But when you look at the Giants right now, and you look at their core, which is ready to win right now, and it's going to be ready to win over the next 2 to 3 years, Braun is exactly the kind of player who fits in the middle of their lineup, who fits a position of need for them. And we know, you know, the Giants have not been afraid to spend money, and we know that they make a very good, you know, between TV money, radio money, Park, they're not a team that scrapes by. So to me, there's a real fit here if they can find the prospects to satisfy the Brewers.
All right, great. Joe Sheehan with us. Always a pleasure to talk some ball with you. Let me ask you about the Cubs. Do they have a weakness here? Now, of course, you know, Las Vegas has them, you know, winning 98 games and all that kind of stuff. Any weakness here for the Cubs?
No, they're the perfect team, and they'll probably. I'm surprised they've lost 4 games already. To be honest with you, I had them at 159-3, and I think I was the lone. No, the concern that I would have is the depth in starting pitching. They had the last 2 years with all the success they've had. They've been incredibly healthy in the rotation. They've only had to make a small handful of off rotation starts, digging into those 6th and 7th starters. And you know, you're looking at the rotation's getting up there. They've worked deep into October the last couple of years, so a lot of extra innings on the likes Jake Arrieta and John Lester and Kyle Hendricks. And there's just not a lot of depth there. Now, Brett Anderson's made 2 good starts for them, but Brett Anderson, the fact that he made 2 consecutive starts is the story here. This is a guy who was basically had 2 healthy years in his entire career. They've got Mike Montgomery, who's their number 6 man. He's never really had success in the majors as a starter. The number 7 man is Eddie Butler, who came over from the Rockies, kind of a failed prospect with still some promise. He's in the 7th spot. Marty, you're the Cubs' number 8 starter. Okay. I'm not sure if you know that or not.
I could be the Giants' lefty reliever. How about that?
There you go. I look at the Cubs and say, if the starting pitching stays healthy, there's really nothing to worry about. But if the starting pitching stays healthy is a phrase that you can use that we've been using throughout baseball history. That's my one concern. If something were to go wrong in the front of the rotation, they don't really have the internal depth to fill it. They would probably have to go into the market. Now, they do have incredible prospect depth even after last year's trades. Ian Happ, Eloy Jimenez, they can go out and get whoever's available. But they just don't have those 6th, 7th, 8th starters that have become so important in today's game.
In the National League West, Colorado and Arizona off to good starts. Staying power for either one of them?
You know, the Diamondbacks looked a bit like a sleeper in the offseason to me, with them to get better years out of Greinke, Goldschmidt, Shelby Miller. A.J. Pollock, of course, missed almost all of last year with the elbow injury. They would just, those four guys being healthy and better this year should have bumped them up maybe another 6 to 9 wins. The concern I have was in the bullpen. At the start of the season, looked like they had no major league caliber average relievers. You know, Randall Delgado's been in their bullpen for a while. He's not very good. They signed Fernando Rodney. The bullpen has pitched a little bit better in the opening days of the season. Former number one pick Archie Bradley's been moved to the bullpen. He's been effective for them. So if they can find one or two guys like that to bolster the bullpen, it changes their projections. The other positive for them, Torey Lovullo in the dugout, Mike Hazen in the front office, they're being run better than they've been run in recent years. And I think there'll be a benefit in season for that. So if there's a sleeper in the National League, it probably is the Diamondbacks.
All right. Hey, let's touch on the Dodgers. Kershaw and Greinke last night. Kershaw, I say, is the best pitcher in baseball. He, one hitter last night against that Arizona team you talked about. We saw him 7 times here. They can hit the ball. But last night, Kershaw got him, and the Dodgers are stashing the young players, waiting for the middle of the season, Urias, until they need him. What do you see with the old Brooklyn Dodgers here?
I think the Dodgers are I don't know if they're the second best team. I think the Nationals are really good, but those are the 3 best teams in baseball in some order. And look at that Dodgers. They're going to keep, I don't know, faking the pitching staff, but you know, they basically have collected a lot of guys. Brandon McCarthy and Yinjin Ryu and Scott Kazmir. And they're just basically hoping that over the course of the year, they can get 30 starts. Those guys are healthy for 10 starts at a time. You know, they had Brett Anderson last year to add to that mix. But really, it's Kershaw. If Kershaw stays healthy, then at least you've got that true number one every 5th day giving you the 32 starts. Kenta Maeda is a decent mid-rotation starter. They've got some depth, but they just don't have like a true number two behind Kershaw. Now, the real key, though, you mentioned the young players. Not just Urias on mound, but you look at Alex Verdugo in their system. He's an outfielder, just tremendous bat. Cody Bellinger, who people might have seen a monster home run he hit this spring. They have these young position player prospects ready to go to join a Corey Seager at shortstop, to join a Jock Peterson in center field. The Dodgers are going to have a very inexpensive core in place in a short period of time. So they're going to come out of this phase where they've run these $240 million payrolls to where they're going to be like the Cubs, where they have these young position players who are just not making any money. They're going to bring the payroll down. It's also going to make them a threat to sign Bryce Harper in 2 years or Manny Machado in 2 years. It's the way teams want to build now. So the Dodgers are finally making this transition from a super high payroll team to a developmental team.
Mm. Well, the window is open. Giants-Dodgers. I see it again. The whole summer it's going to be Giants-Dodgers.
Yep.
Once again, that window is still here because of what you say with the starting pitching of the Giants and just the way they play ball and catch the ball. If you pitch and catch the ball, you're generally in good shape. Hey, Joe Sheehan with us. Joe, one last thought for you. I've been talking about the Reds, and maybe they're the surprise team of the National League so far. I love the bullpen. They can shut it down. Iglesias is not afraid to go 2 innings if they need him. Amir Garrett, the young man from St. John's, the basketball players, had 2 good starts. Any hope for the Reds? I know in spring training people didn't give him much hope.
Yeah, I like that they've run the bullpen this way. Brian Price has been there a while. He's kind of surprisingly started to use his relievers in multi-inning stints. I just don't know if they have the pitching depth. As much as Amir Garrett's been fantastic in the spring in his first couple of starts, he's not somebody you can say, okay, you're going to give us 30 starts and 200 innings. Anthony DeSclafani's had injury issues. So you're going to see their pitching depth get a little bit worn away here in the early going. And also, too, I mean, other than Joey Votto, the offense is a little bit shaky now. You know, they've traded away Jay Bruce. They've traded away Brandon Fellows, which they should do. They absolutely should be rebuilding. So I think there'll be a good early season story. But they seem like the team that's most likely to really kind of fall apart here later in the year as the pitching starts to wear down.
All right. You don't like Bronson Arroyo, huh?
I think it's a great story.
Come on, he's getting crazy. He said, one more start like this and it's dead end street. So, yeah, it's a good story, him coming back, but he's gotten lit up twice. Hey, great to have you on, as always, and the newsletter is terrific. I recommend everyone to check it out. But we'll talk during the season as it goes on and as things develop. But I'm with you. The first couple of months, just see who you are, and don't panic now like we did years ago without all the hype and everything. Just let the baseball season play out a little bit, and I think that's what you have to do. So I think we're on the same page with that.
Hey, just like you talked to Todd Billy, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I said it first. He took my quote. I don't like that. All right, Joe, thanks for being on as always.
Thanks, Marty. Take care.
All right, that is Joe Sheehan. Always love talking ball with him. The guy's on it every single day.